I think it's true to say that our world goes ever more quickly, year by year, day by day, in terms of the amount of information that flows towards us and the complexity and number of choices that we're called upon to make in terms of how to live and how to live skillfully. So to take a day and to devote 7-8 hours to really being present with our own experience, it's like we've honored this truth that birth as a human being is a precious gift, and we've honored this potential we all have to free ourselves from habitual patterns in the mind and to live and really become who we are meant to be. So this morning, we're going to have a few brief instructions, just a show of hands if anyone is new to meditation here, considers themselves a rank beginner. No, well, that's a couple of people, Janelle, maybe a little bit, yeah. Well, I'm going to give some instructions, and I'm also going to invite you to really use your own wisdom to know whether the instructions are speaking to you or whether the practice that you have been nurturing over the years is more suitable for what you want, how you want to spend the day. At the same time, I encourage you to be open-minded and just to see if any of these instructions might help you explore in a new way. So, you know, each of the community Dharma leaders and Dharma teachers presents the teachings through the lens of their own experience, as we all do. You know, as when we speak and share stories, it's always from our own perspective. And when I was a teacher, when I was a student and a cook, actually, at the retreat center in Massachusetts, my experience of all the many teachers who came through was exactly that each one presented through the lens of their lived experience. And some had Zen training, some had studied with Tibetan teachers, some were still training with Tibetan teachers, some had traveled and lived in Asia, others had never been outside the continent of North America. But they each had taken from their lived experience and the Buddha's teachings and seen the intersection. Oh yes, you know, one teacher said about her partner's grandmother that her experience of aging, so much buttoning and unbuttoning. So interesting, you know, that gives you a whole glimpse into her life. You know, maybe her life was before zippers. But just her understanding of the dukkha, that rub of experience, you know, getting dressed and getting undressed, getting dressed and getting undressed. So as I reflect on this, it's clear to me that, you know, it's arbitrary that I'm sitting in this seat, that you are listening here, because each one of you has so much wisdom to share, and I hope you do share it in your own circles. And the fact that we come together is a chance for us to deepen and grow in wisdom and understanding, so that the way we are in the world continues to be a teaching for those with whom we share our lives. And you could say that all of us are teachers in the ways we speak, in the ways we act, in the choices that we make. So, because it's such a beautiful day, we're definitely going to be, I hope, outside walking on the trails and on the lawn. Hope you've got some good footwear. But really, the emphasis today is on continuity of practice. And we take the time to be cultivating mindfulness in these conditions, these beneficial conditions, in order to sustain as much continuity of mindfulness as we can throughout the day, throughout the weekend, and as we go home into our lives. Because it is through continuity of awareness that we create opportunities for insight, transformative insight, to arise. And this insight, you know, it's not an esoteric experience. It's like suddenly grasping, oh yes, the truth of change, the truth of aging, the truth of the conditioned nature of experience, and the truth that no matter how pleasant an experience is, it's bound to change. And so there's this inherent quality of anxiety and fear and unsatisfactoriness. So these are called the three characteristics. And the more we bring continuity to our mindfulness practice, the more we develop an understanding and this clarity around those truths, which are there for us to see. And the more we can, through that clear seeing, bring compassion and friendliness. And this deep-seated heartfulness to the way we live. Because we're all in the same boat. And being in the same boat, we know how precious it is to live skillfully, to live wisely. So I just want to begin by reading a passage from this beautiful book I've been reading, Birds, Art, Life. And the author, she began this practice of bird watching in an urban environment, guided by a musician and bird watcher. And through that experience, she is reflecting on her father's illness and approaching death, and she's reflecting on her own life. But she became aware of the way that she paid attention. And I think we can really learn from that and think about, how do we pay attention to all those physical tasks of caring for the mind and body throughout the day? How do we pay attention in conversation with a friend? How do we pay attention as we interact with those whom we do not know? So what is the quality of our attention? So she says, part of being open, I decided, meant cultivating a better kind of attention. I wanted to achieve the benevolent and capacious attention that the artist and the bird-loving musician showed the world. My usual attention, and she puts in parentheses, non-maternal, because she is a mother. My usual attention had three strains. There was the dogged attention I gave my art, the boxed-in attention I gave to my devices and screens, and the durational attention I sometimes gave to books, art, or films. All these seemingly dissimilar forms of attention had something in common. They were on their way someplace. They sought a reward, a productive purchase, a narrative connection. Was it possible that my focus on making art, on creating tellable stories, was intercepting my ability to see broadly and tenderly and without gain? What would it be like to give my expansive attention to the world, to the present moment, without expectations or promise of an obvious payoff? Was I capable of practicing a God's love kind of attention, an adoring and democratic awe? Could I be more papal? So let's see if we can awaken a God's love kind of attention. done not in a heavy-handed way, but really bringing a quality of lightness and interest and joy. So we're going to sit for about 30 minutes. And again, I invite you throughout the day to be attentive to yourself, and if you need to move, then move, but move mindfully. So find a posture that's comfortable. So as we settle into our sitting posture, we want to make sure that there is a nice balance of upright alertness and relaxed, receptive awareness. And to remember, even as we sit down and take our posture, that in doing so we are honoring that intention to set aside this day or this weekend of practice to nourish within us our own wisdom, our generous hearts, to give ourselves this gift of quiet, seclusion, and this beautiful opportunity to practice with others, to feel supported and to offer our own support. So who knows when we might have set that intention, when we might have had that intuition that this would be beneficial and supportive in our own journey in this human life. And we can see those initial intuitions and the ways that we have honored them as stepping stones along the path. So here we are at another stepping stone. Perhaps we could see it as an opportunity to drink from the coolness, the sweet, refreshing coolness of a mountain stream. So we take our seat, we align ourselves, we honor our intention, and we awaken a sense of gratitude. Gratitude for these conditions. The grounds and this venerable old house, Goward House, with its much beloved family history. Gratitude for those who have supported us in taking this day of quiet. Gratitude for the health of the body, stability of the mind that allows us to be present without too much discomfort. And of course, gratitude for these noble teachings handed down through the centuries. So a period of meditation practice can begin like this, with the honoring of our intention, this moment or two of gladdening the mind through reflection. And then we want to collect the attention, stabilize the awareness by choosing a particular object. So this might be sensations in the body, noticing where the sitting bones make contact with the chair or the cushion. Noticing where the hands are resting. And perhaps even noticing where the feet are making contact. Or the legs. Grounding our awareness in the experience of living in a body and being in contact with the world around us. Or we might choose to notice the movement of the breath. There is this rhythm to the breath that, when it becomes visible, reminds us of all the rhythms of our lives. The rising of the sun, the journey of the sun across the sky, setting of the sun, the rhythm of the tides, the rhythm of the seasons, the rhythm of birth and life and death. So seeing if it's possible to observe and stay present with one entire cycle of this rhythm of the breath. see how it is to observe the breath. Are we pursuing that experience? Is there a kind of tightening of the attention in order to catch it? Is there a relaxed and light awareness? Just this breath, just this moment. By stabilizing our attention in this way, we are creating supportive conditions for continuity of mindfulness to develop. Is it possible to get interested in this experience of the breath, this experience of the body breathing? As we come to the end of this first period of formal practice, just take a snapshot in your mind of what your experience is. Oh, here I am. Already there is a certain stability and steadiness of attention. May I continue to cultivate this. May my mindfulness be continuous. And remember that when we say mindfulness, it is simply this encouragement to return to the present moment and the present moment's experience. And that could be noticing sensations in the body as we turn and move or stretch. It could be an awareness of the air temperature. It could be this very subtle awareness of a mood or flavor in the mind. So from moment to moment, mindfulness will land on a new experience, a new aspect of our experience. And this is the creative and mysterious, really, way of nurturing continuity of mindfulness, is that we observe and attend to our experience while also participating. Oh, here I am now, standing, moving, reaching. So there becomes a very friendly attitude of interest. And in this way, we learn how to befriend the judging mind, the evaluating mind, the mind that compares and criticizes and judges again and again. Oh, there I am, making another evaluation. There I am again. Regretting, planning, preparing. So mindfulness really invites us to be our own inner companion. This beautiful gift of friendship that we can offer ourselves as we go through the day. So when you hear the sound of the bell, just attending to the sound, and then in your own time, moving, standing, preparing to go and do some walking meditation. May our practice truly be of benefit to ourselves and to all beings in all directions. So that's going to be our mantra today, is continuity. So with the walking meditation, usually we give instructions to find a walking place and walk back and forth. But today I invite you to use the walking meditation as an opportunity to explore continuity of awareness. So that might mean going for a stroll along the trails, if the trails are visible, or it might mean just going for a stroll in the parking lot or on the sidewalk, and maintaining this awareness of the body in motion, of the experience of seeing and hearing. And in this way, we're actually developing this skill of attending in our daily lives, because in our daily lives, we are in motion. We are in contact with sound and sensation, with visual experience, with all kinds of phenomena that present themselves.